Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, right on cue. Handsome just jumped on the windowsill. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk and where I broadcast every week, the Weekly Weather. What we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about the energy ahead in the week ahead above our heads and how we're going to experience it down here on Earth. And I'm currently riding with my side man, Handsome, who's sitting here. Now, I want you to know, Handsome is a nice little black and white cat, so he looks very handsome, even more handsome than normal, on my red desk. And happy Easter to those of you who celebrate Easter, and happy Passover if you celebrated Passover this last week. What we're doing is we're actually in the throes of springtime. I'm so excited. It officially feels like it, doesn't it? It's like Aries. It's, you know, April showers next tomorrow. They're going to bring the Mayflowers. And, of course, that really bad joke, what do Mayflowers bring? Pilgrims, ha ha. At any rate, I know I'm not a great joke teller, but I do appreciate a good joke. And in the week ahead, we actually have a joke coming. What we're doing is we're finished. Hooray, hooray. Doesn't it feel good? It's not quite done yet, but it's peaking. So this weekend, actually, the last couple days, stuff's been going down in your life, peaking. The finger of God, and helping you get clear on it, right? Jupiter in the fourth house on Gemini, right? Or whatever house Jupiter's in. Jupiter in Gemini is the apex of the finger of God. And, of course, Saturn and Pluto are the legs. And they've been together since December 4th, right? So there's been stuff going down since December 4th. In what happens with the finger of God, and somebody wrote this week, and they said, you know, I thought it was just the apex. No, the legs evolve to all three legs, all three parts of it. Because remember, there's three planets in a finger of God, and they're all in different signs, they're all in different modes, and they're all in different elements. So they totally don't get each other, right? So Jupiter's in Gemini in an air sign, chatty, chatty, communicative, indecisive, back and forth, two stories, multiple versions of the truth or reality, double sets of stuff, right? Air, mutable, changeable. Jupiter, the big guy, right? Our planet of relationships, our planets of siblings, our planet of communication and talking, because he's in the sign of Gemini right now. He's not normally that, but he's the big king, right? Saturn is, of course, in Scorpio, water, fixed, intense, silent. And so intense, fixed, silent fall, end of the growing season, fighting with Gemini, the frisky, loose month of May, end of May, beginning of June, when you really can almost feel summer coming and you're running around and it's just nobody's wearing their clothes anymore. When I worked in corporate, all the guys would sit on the window. There was this fountain across the street from my building, and they loved it. This was the shedding of the coat season, you know. And all the women would walk by without their coats, so you could see their bodies again. And the guys, of course, were without their coats, too. So if we sat on the windowsills and the water fountains, we could have watched them. So, you know, the season of the end of the growing season, Scorpio, intense, passionate, controlled. They never answer a question directly. They kind of answer it, but they don't give you a yes or no. And sometimes they don't even answer it. They just absorb the information silently. My favorite thing reading a Scorpio is to kind of point out all the different parts on the chart. And I say, well, this is going on in here, and this is going on in here, and this is going on in here. Which one do you want me to talk about? And I make them point, right? And then I know which house they're really interested in. I make them point to the chart. And they'll go, well, any of it. I said, no, well, prioritize for me. Because Scorpio is intense, but it's very secretive, and it doesn't tell you stuff. So, of course, it's arguing with chatty, nonstop Gemini, chat, 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 information, blah, 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 blah. You know a Gemini, they have a little trouble sometimes keeping their mouth closed. And then, of course, Pluto, the lord of the underworld, Saturn, the barrier guy, the restriction guy, arguing with Jupiter, the expansion guy, saying not just one, take two of both. And Saturn's going, do you really need both? And then Pluto in Capricorn, which he's been in since 2008, January of 2008, when the stock market collapsed, so we know what Pluto's all about. He's about the destruction of existing things. He's in the sign of Capricorn. the destruction and transformation of existing structures. So he's in a cardinal action taking. That's dark market went down fast, right? Capricorn Earth, solid, reliable, not water like Scorpio, not air like Gemini. And cardinal, action taking, rocks. And Pluto, of course, as the lord of transformation, endings and death. So, you know, Jupiter and Scorpio, sextile Pluto and Capricorn, in conjunct Jupiter and Gemini, the finger of God. There could be two sets of papers and an impending death coming in or something like that. There can be, you know, your boss says one thing and then really does another. Well, I told you I wanted this, but I don't really want that. I want this instead. And you come out going, you know, that's not what he said last year. So the finger of God, they argue, and each of the planets has their own opinion. They have their own perspective, and they don't think they're wrong, and they're not in a mood to cooperate. So what each of them are asking us to do is evolve, right? It's not just the apex, but the apex gets the energy because that's the pointy part, meaning that's the part that's getting goosed. Because Saturn and Pluto actually have a cooperative relationship because they're in a sextile. They're working together to say to the Jupiter and Gemini, evolve. And then, of course, we're throwing in another one. We threw in that fiery finger that showed up last week with all the planets in Aries forming a sextile to Jupiter. So they're in cardinal fire, and they're in conjunct Saturn as the apex, and Saturn and the Aries planets are sextiling Jupiter. So essentially we have all four elements, cardinal fire, action taking, arguing with fixed water, Scorpio, arguing with Jupiter and Gemini, indecisiveness, even though the Aries planets are saying you got to make a decision. And then if we do the other finger, it's the Pluto and the Saturn sextiling each other, working together, arguing with Jupiter in Gemini, saying, I don't know which way to pick. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure where I'm going. And so they all kind of argue. And the whole premise of a finger of God is they can be paralyzing, right? Or they can feel very fated because they just kind of do stuff. They also are a health aspect because it's a Virgo-Scorpio mix. So you can literally get sick worrying over something because one leg's in Virgo, one leg's in Scorpio, worrying over which way to go because the apex is in Aries. So it's an interesting configuration, but yes, all three legs can evolve. But the thing that tends to get goosed along is the Gemini, or in this case, the Saturn, when it is the Aries, Gemini, Saturn, finger of God, where Saturn's the apex. Of course, Saturn right now is going backwards, so you're reviewing things. He's retrograde now. And the other guys are all moving forward. Next couple weeks, Pluto's going to station, and he's going to go retrograde. So then we're going to have two legs of the finger of God reversing and going backwards. But in the meantime, this week, the finger of God, the big one, the one from December 4th, starts to break up because Jupiter pulls out, and he goes, I'm out of here, guys. He perfected last week. So you should have had some evolutionary news last week, or maybe this week. You're being asked to evolve. Just sit quietly with whatever information's coming to you or whatever's going on. You know, I had one student who had a meeting where she cried, and she never cries. It's not how she works. She's a Pluto moon girl. But she was like, I cried, you know, and it's like, yeah, you evolved. That was evolution. We don't always like evolution. Sometimes it's messy. I've been stressing over something the last couple days. And I'm like, I know I'm evolving. I get it. I know the story. I understand it. I've worked the story. I've been to therapy about the story. All that crap. But I still have to figure out evolutionarily which way I want to go, what I want to do about it. Hang on, Saturn in Scorpio. Evolve, Pluto in Capricorn. Triangles. Problems, what do I want to hear? In conjunct the Jupiter and Gemini, which way? Now, I will tell you, this week, Mercury in Pisces clears his shadow. Now, he got to his shadow in February, 19 degrees and how many minutes? 19 degrees, 52 minutes of Pisces, and then he was retrograde, and then he went forward. And when my phone came back, hooray, hooray. And now he clears his shadow in 19 Pisces this week on the 6th, okay? So this indecisiveness of Jupiter starts to wane. And, of course, Jupiter's pulling out of the finger of God now. So we're done with this. Saturn and Pluto are going to stay in a sextile. They're in a sextile for a really long time. And when planets come along and dance through the Gemini part of it, they'll stimulate a little mini finger of God just for a day or so. But the big guy Jupiter is now pulling out, okay? So we're all expected to be about as evolved as we're getting under this finger of God, and now we get to work with it, all right? So you've got another couple days while the sun sextiles Jupiter this week, because he's going to set off that finger of God too, and is in conjunct to Saturn. That's the fiery finger. But the other finger, the one with Saturn and Pluto, and Jupiter is actually done now. Okay, that one's finished, and we're now parting. Okay, so what happens when planets are building and approaching and building and approaching? It feels like they're growing and growing and growing, and then like they pull it, or like a train, they pull into the train station. Everybody hops on the train, and then the train pulls off. Train's pulling out now. You've done as much evolution as you're going to on this particular issue right now. Of course, we know the universe, it always gets back to you and says, we're not quite finished yet. We're in a little more, but this finger of God, the decisive actions that you've been being asked to take since December have happened. It's in place as much as is going to happen. And now we execute. Now, what will happen, though, because Pluto's going backwards and Saturn's going backwards, is that we will revise stuff until Saturn goes direct in July. And we then start moving Saturn forward, okay, because Saturn's going backwards till the beginning of July. He goes direct on July 7th. And remember, we talked in November when he was at 449, and it was like, okay, if you made decisions after December 14th or November 14th, those things will be up for revision. Decisions made before November 14th are kind of locked and loaded because they're in that little magical period that Saturn's not going back to. So now is your opportunity to change some of the decisions that you made between, you know, when that happened. And then, of course, when Pluto stations and he goes backwards, which is on the 12th of April, which is next week, not this week, he'll ask you to revise too, and he goes backwards until, I believe, September. Yeah, he goes direct, handsome, no keyboard, big guy. He goes backwards on, he goes forward again at 9 on September 20th, okay? But as he stops this week, we get at the degree of his station. Now, interestingly, and I have a good friend whose brother wrote Rent. And so once a year, we celebrate and give away. I don't give away money. I just get invited to the party. They celebrate and give away money in his name. And so it also serves as kind of a reunion for everybody who was his friend. So he would be 53 this year, which is a little disconcerting. Because I remember him when he was in college and he was writing musicals at Adelphi. And Julie was my roommate. And so anyway, we went to the thing, and I spent that week in bed with my pneumonia, and one of the things that kept coming up was 9/11. I kept having dreams in 9/11. And one of his friends did the really good documentary, which I put on my website a couple times, about the boat lift, the heroic boat lift, where over 500,000 people were evacuated from the island of Manhattan in less than 9 hours by all these volunteer civilians who showed up with their boats. And so I said something about it at the party, and Eddie looked at me, and he goes, that is so weird. He said, I had this cop come over to me. He said, you know, and cops don't talk to you. He said, I had this cop come over to me, and he said to me, I just have to tell you, I sent your documentary to my sister because she had been trapped on the bottom of Manhattan, and she was one of the evacuees, and her arm had been crushed by one of the boats in the evacuation. And, I mean, obviously not on purpose, but, you know, whatever. And so she had, you know, kind of collapsed internally after that and then had gone off and was living in England. And so he had said to her, he said to Eddie, I mailed her that boat lift documentary that you did. And if you want to Google it, it's called Boat Lift by Eddie Rosenstein, my friend. And he said it made her cry, and she said she cried for a whole week, of course. Pluto's in the same degree of Jupiter on 9/11. And then she decided it was time to go to therapy and heal this, right? So these are really profound places in our being waking up. They also correspond to age 11. Now, at age 11, you're pretty smart. You're in sixth grade. You know a lot of stuff. You can ride the bus to school. You know what you like for lunch and what you don't like. You're not autonomous yet, but you can probably stay home for a couple hours without your parents. You can maybe even babysit younger kids. I mean, I was babysitting at 11. but it also has an energy of it of not really being quite old enough. And it's kind of that middle magical period of late latency where you're turning into a young adult, but you're not there yet. You're still a kid, and you kind of swing back and forth between the two energies. So there's been a lot of talk about inner children with this aspect. And when I've been talking to people as stuff has been waking up inside of them about their little kid that's getting woken up, and their job is to help that little kid, you know, because here they are in their big 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 20-year-old, whatever body they're in, but their little 11-year-old is awake. And sometimes their little 8-year-old is awake, and they need some support, right? They need support from us. And a lot of times what we do is we hold those early stories and they become very, very important to us because they happen during our formative years when we are smart enough to kind of know what's going on, but we're not big enough to make any difference about it yet. Right? Make sense? So we're smart enough, we see it, we get it, we understand it in an 11-year-old, 8-year-old way, but we have no power. And we still, you know, we have to work with our families, you know, or whatever's going on in our world around us, but we're not old enough to be in charge. So a lot of what this finger of God seems to have brought up for my clients and my students is, and in the case of, you know, when you didn't have any power or that you don't have any power, of course, Pluto's power, right? And he's in Capricorn. He says you have limited power, or you have no power, or you have someone abusing their power. You know, I talked to my, I'm not going to say who it was, but she'd had a performance review, and she goes, "He's a dickhead. My boss is a dickhead." Now, I have to say, I've never ever heard her use the word dickhead before, but she used it. And I was like, "So how do you feel about him?" She's like, "He's a dickhead," you know, and because her boss is a little capricious and he's a control freak and he, you know, whatever. So you're at that age, you know, where you're old enough to go, "That's not right." But again, you don't have any power. And it does bring up that little you. So our job this week, as the finger of God starts to separate, you're going to find that you get a burst of energy, okay? Because everything that you've needed to do has been accomplished. You can't do any more. And now we get to move forward, all right? And you're smart enough and you're grown up enough and you can do it. You really totally can, even if you don't feel like it. And you have to help your little 11-year-old or your little 8-year-old. You have to pull them in and say, "Here, come here, I'm going to take care of you. I know this. I know you're feeling powerless right now. I got your back. I'm the grown-up version of you. I'm what you're going to look like when you get to be 40, 50, 60, whatever old you are. And I got 78-year-olds going through stuff. I got an 88-year-old going through something. Evolving, and she's 10, okay? So it does not matter how old you are. And I know you might say, "You know, I've done the work on this, Anne. I've worked on this already. Why is it back?" Because it wants you to go to the next level. And we haven't talked about it yet, but this summer is so huge. There's a big Star of David for 3 months in a grand trine in water and a grand trine in earth. It's highly, highly creative, but we really have to weed our garden of all the things that don't fit or that we've outgrown or that don't serve us anymore or that are holding us back, you know, that are helping us not be what we're supposed to be, that are holding us captive. And we have to look at them and understand, do we want to stay captive to them? Do we want to let them go? Let them go, let them go. If you want to stay captive to them, you have to adjust your relationship to them. I mean, sometimes you can't get rid of them. They're your kids or they're your parents. But you do have to adjust how you interact with them. That's the other part that says fingers of God are fingers of adjustment. They say to us, we are making a permanent change in your life. Get ready, get set. It's all going to shift. And we go, humana, 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 humana. And then it changes. And then you can't go back. It's a permanent change. Christopher Reeve falling off the horse, finger of God. Right, he has got one in his chart, and his natal chart was triggered. Now, if you happen to have a finger of God in your chart, this is even bigger. But if you're just a regular little person roaming around, you got a finger of God in your chart right now between these planets asking you to evolve. And, of course, the finger of God people who have them, they know about this because they've been living with it all their life. Excuse me, but they have big fingers too, and they're really evolving right now. Because they're getting conscious. It's very much about getting conscious. All right? So our finger of God's breaking up. Handsome's coming over here trying to step on my phone and hang up on it. I'm probably going to hang it up on myself because I'm moving it around trying to keep it away from him, which, of course, would be very finger of God of me, wouldn't it? All right. So Monday's April Fool's Day. The moon trines Mars, hitting off that finger of God one more time. Moon in Sag. And the sun is sextile to Jupiter, setting off the fiery finger. The fiery finger starts to break up, too. Saturn, of course, is still going to be in conjunct to Uranus, but Jupiter's rolling out. So as Jupiter leaves, that finger breaks up there, too, because he's a leg of it. The moon is in Cap. The moon is void all day Monday, the 1st. Goes into Cap on Tuesday, and it has a good closing aspect, so Monday's productive even if the moon is void. Tuesday, the moon's in Capricorn. This is your direction in life where you're heading. Closing aspect is a square to Mars. Arguments, Tuesday. Moon is void all day Wednesday. Now, remember, we're having these really long void moons. We have a bunch of events on one day, and then the next day we have a long void moon to process. What a void moon is, you're supposed to do your spiritual work. The universe says, okay, let's stop everything, pause, go look in your spirit, figure it out. All right, so spiritual day Wednesday. Now, you can do stuff, of course. It's not a prohibition against doing it. But really, your time is better spent on focusing on things that are not of this world, that are your greater evolutionary purpose, your karma. Of course, these are karma planets, too. Like, you're evolving, you know? So, like, focus on your evolution. I know that sounds so trite. Thursday, but you are evolving. Haven't you seen how much you've changed since December 4th, how conscious you've gotten in your Scorpio, Capricorn, and Gemini houses? Thursday, the moon goes into Aquarius with a closing aspect of a sextile to Mars. So Thursday and Friday are quite productive, thank you very much. Very group-oriented, very big picture. And Friday afternoon, the moon goes void and is void Friday afternoon and evening. Handsome, no, not the phone. Stop. Oh, he's such a little pest. He's a very good cat, and I love him dearly, but he is a pest. And then the moon goes into Pisces bright and early Saturday morning at 9. And it's in Pisces Saturday and Sunday morning, going void at midnight on the 8th. So, and that's with a conjunction to Mercury, again, communication. Mercury passes its shadow this week, so we start a whole new cycle. There isn't a lot of planetary aspects. The last 2 weeks you're supposed to process. The information that came to light in those, you're supposed to process, figure out what you want to do. We do have Ceres entering Cancer this week on the 4th, which is Thursday. So the principle of nurturing is happening. At the same time it does that, it hits Hades on the 7th. Ceres hits Hades. So there's something to do with dead things, dead mothers, dead women, dead nurturing, because Ceres, of course, is the principle of nurturing. Great time to go on a diet. Because Ceres is your food. Great time to do a liver cleanse, which I'm one of the things I'm thinking of doing now that I'm supposedly healthier. We also have on the 4th, Pluto sextile Chiron. Now, this is at the same degree as the World Trade Center. Chiron is at 11 degrees, the same degrees as the World Trade Center. Sextile to Jupiter, right? Now, I don't know what happened to you on 9/11, but that energy is back up again. We are at the 12-year anniversary. Years of the snake tend to be cataclysmic in terms of, which is what we're in, the year of the snake, tend to be cataclysmic in terms of world events, because, of course, the snake brings us to the underworld, because it can go underground, just like the rest of us can't. So this tends to be a big time. We are approaching the Jupiter return of 9/11 this summer. And of course, we're approaching the 12-year anniversary when we get to September. So what else is happening this week? We also have a couple aspects to the nodes, but by and large, it's an internal processing week. And we have the Sun and Mars talking to the nodes of fate. Mars talks to the nodes of fate on Wednesday the 3rd. The Sun talks to the nodes of fate on Saturday the 6th. Handsome? No. Oy. I just have this image of him stepping on the phone, and all he really wants is to be petted. Of course, what do all of us really want? We just want to get our head scratched, our back rubbed. He doesn't like a tummy rub, but he likes his back rubbed. So I don't know why. I guess I should just do it and not argue with him about it, right? And then he'll be happy. And that's what I'm doing, and now he's happy. Okay, so everybody, take a few minutes this week for a back rub and a head scratch, because you'll feel better. Like Handsome is. We also have Mercury trine. So the Sun and Mars have hard aspects to the finger of God, all right? They're in an inconjunct form to the nodes of fate, rather. And so they're going to say to you, you see it, and you have to say, I see it. And then they're going to say evolve. So they're going to ask for an evolutionary step on the 3rd, and they're going to take it on the 6th. Now, if you've been having a bunch of crap go on in your office, and you've been waiting for the shoe to fall or something awful to happen or whatever, it could happen this week because the finger of God perfected last week over the weekend, this weekend, and they make decisions, right? So you could have it happen on Wednesday or Saturday. So we're, you know, as it pulls out, as the train pulls out of the station and you're running down the stairs to try and catch it, going, wait, and it goes, bye. So you could have that happen this week. Hopefully not. Hopefully you caught the train last week, but if you didn't, this week you get to make those adjustments. You get to figure out how you want to handle it. You get to do the research. You get to look up the title records, you know, whatever your story is. You're going to be doing something. Mercury has a trine to the North Node of Fate on the 4th, which is Thursday. Now, of course, Mercury was in Pisces. He was last at this degree in February when he paused to go backwards, okay? And now he's going to clear it, and he's going to say, okay, I've taken you on a journey for the last month and a half, the last 67 days I've been in Pisces. Of course, he's been ruling the finger of God. He's been ruling the apex, that Jupiter and Gemini. He's been answering to Mercury and Pisces. That's why dreams have been so big. That's why everybody's been so sick with lung things, with fluid in the lungs. And, of course, the lungs are grief, right? And the planets Saturn and Pluto are in health aspects. So psychological grief or physical grief have been being processed through your lungs. Or you've just been, you know, you needed some time in the bed alone with yourself. So the aspect of the Mercury to the finger of God is very strong this week, okay? And he's going to say to you, you might not be able to do anything with this, but you need to see it. Because then once you see it, you can evolve. Remember, manifestation happens on four levels. We have the spiritual, which is what our chart is. We sit down with the giant astrologer in the sky, right, before we come in, and we say, hey, this is what I want my chart to be this time. And we have our reasons for whatever they are, you know, and we agree to our chart. It's our soul's agreement. Now, sometimes it's a balancing life. You know, you're balancing a life you did before. Other times, it's got a different focus. But the purpose of your chart, it's in your heart, it's in your chart, right? So we sit down with it. And so this week is really an understanding of what your soul's purpose is. Because what we've been going through since the beginning of November has been really helping you clear it out, laser-like focus on it, get it, see it. So it's very important. The other thing that happens on April 7th is Mars and Venus join, which is a big huggy-kissy, start anew, two-year cycle, or one-year cycle and change around love and relationships this week. So, a bit of shameless self-promotion. At the end of the month, on the 26th, 27th, and 28th, I'm going to be teaching a palmistry workshop up in Vermont. Hope you can join us. It's with the Bodhi Consult folks. Feel free to contact them, information on my website and on the weekly weather. And secondly, it's April Fool's tomorrow. So if someone calls you and says, Mr. Fox called and then gives you the number for the Bronx Zoo, it's a joke, okay? And have a great week. The British lady has said it's time to go. Evolution this week, Capricorn moon, about our direction in life, our vision. Sag moon first, our understanding, our knowledge. Capricorn moon, how we practically want to do it. Aquarius, what our group vision is, how we're going to serve the greater community. And Pisces, where we need to let go of what we no longer need. We also have Pluto occulting the moon on Tuesday, which tends to bring up a lot of deep emotions. So emotional processing Tuesday for all this stuff you've been working on since December. This is Ann Ortley, the British lady has spoken. I'm signing off. Have a great week and happy Easter. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.